Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready when you are.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Chelsea beat Arsenal, West Ham have a new manager, and Brighton got a big win on the South Coast. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark Speller. Jim Campbell, Luke Mora here.
Hello.
We are. It's still the Christmas perineum.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, man.
I find it unsettling.
Yeah?
I don't know what I should be doing.
But I just said that to Jim, actually. I quite like that, though.
All right, you just sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
There is no should be. You know, you can define it yourself.
True.
Do what you like. Go trampolining if you want.
But I'm a thrusting young professional, Jim, so it's difficult for me.
Well, and he still thrust professionally.
I've got one of those big 80s mobile phones and no one's answering. Mm.
Well, here you are thrusting away on the Football Ramble.
I am.
Yeah, exactly. Take it from me, listeners.
It's not just the way my trousers are hanging.
Yes, of course. We won't wish you a Happy New Year just yet.
No.
Because it's not the New Year.
And if you're listening to this when it is the New Year, that's on you.
I know, maybe, well,
that's
all right,
on them.
Happy New Year.
No, that's on them. No, yeah. Don't give
I've
them a
done
Happy
it
New
now.
Year.
Oh, yeah, retract that.
No. Wait till Friday.
No.
Retract, you curse it. If you don't take that back, the New Year won't happen.
I'm not wishing you a Happy New Year, Jim.
That's fair.
Hear that?
Yeah. Having a dig.
Yeah. Awful.
Jim's already had a terrible couple of days, presumably. I mean, it's like, nothing to do with the Arsenal result. I just presume that's how it's happened.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Been fine.
Well, you've mentioned Arsenal. Let's go out there then. They were beaten 2-1 by Chelsea.
Yes.
Mikel Arteta back home. He came home again to the Emirates Stadium, of course.
And is it fair to say he marked his homecoming in typical fashion?
In very typical fashion.
Well, yeah.
Conducive to what the club would have expected.
I would,
in terms of the manner
of it. The fan base, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I mean, this is a real sort of indication of how bad it's been this season. I actually still came away from it feeling fairly positive, just because in the first half, Arsenal actually controlled the game, looked in charge. Obviously, they ran out of steam in the second. The Bernd Leno mistake is annoying, but that's not going to happen every game, is it? Mm-hmm. So, as defeats go...
I hope not.
Well, it doesn't, does it? He makes an error here and there.
No, he's a good goalkeeper. He's
bad.
A good goalkeeper, yeah.
So... As defeats go, actually, you know, I appreciate that the bar has come this low, but I genuinely have come away from that not feeling as annoyed as I might normally.
Did you flick the TV off and go, good defeat that?
Yeah.
Well, all joking aside.
Job well done.
All joking aside, how did you celebrate this result?
With a big pie.
Yeah, a big pie.
Mm.
Jim, I know you're going to sort of, and perhaps some of our more kind of, shall I say, uptight listeners will interpret this the same way, but I don't want you to, because it's going to sound like I'm out sort of having a go and kicking you while you're down and all the rest of it. I don't mean it to be like that.
I'm really not down. I'm just numb.
Okay. Oh, well, let me have a go. Yeah. Is it annoying that from the outside looking in, it's just a bit like the reaction to this game from a lot of Arsenal fans. Well, yeah, but you know, it's a mistake, and Jorginho shouldn't be on the pitch. And it's,
if you've got any particular ones in mind,
is there a kind of a feeling like just stop making excuses? This stuff happens because the club is in a certain way and the whole culture needs to be changed? Or is that not indicative of that?
I would think that would be a little bit short-sighted with a new manager when he's two games in, like, because Arteta's, I mean, like I say, he's changed the style fairly effectively already, given the limited time he's had. If you look at the amount of shots Arsenal had against Bournemouth and again, that first half against Chelsea, and yeah, the mistake is annoying. The second goal is maddening, obviously, but he's not had a long time to sort those things out. So, you know, they've not been booed off. So,
progress,
isn't it? It's baby steps.
Yeah. But, I mean, a bit more serious, though, I suppose, with regards to Arsenal. I mean, Arteta, he should keep him up, shouldn't he?
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he's been brought in to do.
It seems like it. But you're right. I mean, it was an improvement.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Arsenal fans are looking at quite clearly. So I do understand. And with regards to individual errors, if Leno was making them all the time, then the concern would be there. But as you say, Jimmy, he's not.
I'm not suggesting anyone sticks the boot into
it. I think it's a fair question.
Mad decision, though.
Oh, yeah. It was like he decided already whatever happened, he was coming for it.
Yeah.
He didn't make a decision as the ball was flighted over. He was kind of already on his bike.
Yeah.
Which is a strange thing to say.
Very odd.
But Lampard indulging in the old first half substitute.
It's all the rage now.
Substitute patterns of...
It's all the rage, mate.
Yeah, Mourinho's done it. I mean, Duncan Ferguson hasn't done it in the first half, but he's torn up the rule book on substitute. You wait till half time.
Well, no, it's all gone mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I like that. Also, Route 1 is back. Everyone's about Route 1 now, and it's a good Route 1.
Bit more direct.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a classy Route 1. It's a weird. But aside from that, it was a brilliant substitution because I think... pretty much to the minute that Jorginho came on, the possession stats flipped into Chelsea's favour and stayed that way for the rest of the game.
Right.
I'm surprised he didn't start him, really, because Arsenal got so much joy in that first half because they were managing to control the midfield, which is something, again, they've struggled with.
And Chelsea have never, under Lampard so far, haven't really sorted out this left-hand side problem. He doesn't seem to know whether he prefers Emerson or Marcus Alonso. Mm. In my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, he prefers neither of them.
Yeah.
But he's got no option.
Well, we'll see in January, won't we?
Yes, we will.
You're right. But Jorginho came on and, as you say, changed the game. But it was, I mean, yeah, I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised. I mean, why would Lampard wait another 10 minutes for his side to potentially go 2-0 down?
Yeah,
I know we're being a bit silly there, but...
But a lot of it is to do with protecting the player's confidence, right?
Of course.
Which you could also read as ego.
Yeah.
Because you could say... easily, if you were a coach of a big team, you'd say, well, I'm sorry, mate, but sometimes this happens. You're still going to get paid.
Yes.
You know, it's, unfortunately, you need to put your ego to one side and understand the team's the most important thing. Yeah. And I made this decision, providing the coach is making it for the right reasons. Mm. I'm looking at you, Jose Mourinho. then I think it should not necessarily be as taboo as it currently is.
Well, I think it's easier as well if you're that defender being subbed off for a midfielder and the formation is changing. You know,
it depends. That shows the manager's got it wrong. And that's what Lampard, well, I don't know whether he says that to Emerson, I don't know. But that's what that looks like to me, is that Lampard either got his tactics wrong or he's thinking, oh, Arteta's tactics, he's surprised.
So did he move from a 3-3 back to a 4-3-3 then? I didn't see the game because I was at the Fulham game. So
I think, he was talking about what they played against Spurs.
Yeah.
And they changed it up and they looked more comfortable, as you say, with Jorginho, because Arsenal were very good for that sort of first 35 minutes or whatever it was. And they went 1-0 up and the crowd seemed to be getting behind the team a bit more, as you say, Jim. Like all these things when we say, oh, well done, they didn't boo them. I mean, obviously we can have a bit of a joke with that, but there is something in that. Arsenal were much better, there's no two ways about that. Now new manager bounce and whatnot, but the early signs show that they are getting on board with Arteta, which tends to be the case with a new manager because they're giving him a chance. But quite clearly, Emery's time at the club had gone. The players, some of them weren't interested, whatever one may think of that and professionalism and so on. But early signs, you know, especially with Ozil, much better.
He was particularly good in the last two games.
Yeah. And so there is a little flicker of hope.
Oh, very much so. It looks like a good blueprint for, for how the team should play. And this is what any team, you know, any set of fans want to see their team do, you know, just play with a bit of verve and a bit of confidence and enjoy the game. And as I've said a million times on the podcast this season, try to control a game. Mm. And obviously there have been, you know, enjoyable games that Arsenal have been involved in this season where they've come back and won. But that's like, you know, you've snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. This was, this half in particular in microcosm was a lot more, a lot closer to what you'd hope to see from Arsenal when you're being at your most positive in terms of thinking about how they can play. So hopefully it's a good omen of the rest of the Arteta period.
I'm hoping he improves.
Period. Who knows how long it will last.
Quite.
I'm hoping he improves because Sam in the office has got a little lined up chant around Hey Mickey for Mikel Arteta that he wants to roll out at some point. And I feel like he feels like he can't do it at the moment until it gets really, until they get up and running.
Well, especially now it's been spoiled.
I was going to say.
He tweeted it. I said,
Right. Sorry, I thought he'd like made a little bit of audio production and he was going to sneak in.
He's not got a platform. and rightly so.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Jorginho, it was a sending off, wasn't it? Second yellow.
It was. He was very fortunate.
Lampard even admitted that.
But it is one of those ones where that's at the referee's discretion, isn't it? It's not like he's gone up like 2 feet into his chin. It is it's a bit of an annoying situation.
I agree, but I feel like if the exact same incident was replayed, say, in a game tomorrow, there's a chance a referee sends him off.
Absolutely.
He's been fortunate, hasn't he?
Yeah, the referee's been lenient there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why, but he has.
Someone's going to go back through the annals of what this podcast and find out a time when I have been of this opinion, but currently I'm not of the opinion that subscribes to the idea that, he shouldn't run the pitch, so... I mean,
so that's an excuse.
Yeah,
yeah.
Still mark him
absolutely.
Because you can make your point all you like after the game, but still carry on.
Yeah,
until the game finishes.
It's like it's ridiculous. It's like where were you on the second one? Well, there was a player not meant to be on the pitch, so I didn't mark him.
Yeah, I'm
supposed to be marking a space here.
I'm engaging my right to peacefully protest.
Oh dear. Yeah. Chelsea's academy looks. Players, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Tarek Lamptey coming.
Yeah, he came on. And I think Chelsea's done a really good job of protecting their kind of league position so far. I know they've been inconsistent. We've talked about that. But they're protecting their league position while bringing these new players through. And it's interesting to talk about it in this context because Arsenal have got quite a few young players playing and they look quite exciting as well.
Reece Nelson had a very good game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in the post-Ferguson era at United... the lowest they finished is 7th. Arsenal are currently 12th. You wouldn't expect them to bottom out at 12th. You would expect them to bottom out at 12th.
Yeah,
they'd probably get a bit higher at the table. But I think it puts into context what a great job Lampard's done so far because he's bringing his young players through and he's also protecting their league position.
Yeah, and Lampard looked great when he came on. What I like about that is you see a youngster coming on away to Arsenal. It's still a difficult place to go and so on. Getting the ball, just bombing on, just showing that youthful exuberance. Absolutely glorious.
Because he had a good half an hour and the game was still, and they were losing at the time.
They might have been losing when he brought him on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's not as though he's bringing him on when they're 5-0 up.
Yeah, that's right.
Premier League experience.
Well, that's huge for him. He comes on and they end up 2-1 winners and he'll think to himself, and he did play his part in winning the game.
And when he came on, I saw Frank Lampard whisper into his ear because they always like give him instructions and he said to him, if we don't win this game, you'll never play again.
That's right.
You'll never play for this club again.
I don't
again.
Care if the first four letters of your name spell lamp like mine do.
Yeah, go on the pitch and tell the referee that Jorginho shouldn't be on the pitch. Jorginho, what they should have done, if you're going to really make the most of the old sub for a sub type business, do what they do. So remember, they used to do this in friendlies when we were playing. The referee comes over to the coach and says to one of the players, sub him off or I'm going to send him off.
Yeah.
They should have done that.
They should do that. Should see more of that in Premier League.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from Arsenal because West Ham, they lost 2-1 at home to Leicester City and as a result, they have a new manager. Oh.
Enter the ferryman. West Ham fans, do not adjust your podcast providers. Because David Moyes is back in town.
He's back in the boat.
Can I please just do that again? Because I want to say this.
Here we go.
Things can't get better than this. They just can't.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. Chilling.
Yeah. Half hour of prep to get that in there.
Worth it. He said he's happy to be home.
I saw that. What was he there for?
Maybe he means in that boat.
Did he say it in a Cockney accent?
Yeah.
I'd love it if he did that.
I'm Davey Moyes and I'm happy to be home.
I can't believe I've got in the old jam jar and I'm back at my spiritual home.
Gotcha.
It can't get any better than this. It just can't.
I love the idea of the hierarchy at West Ham sitting David Moyes down the first time around saying, thanks for everything you've done for us, but we really want to kick on now.
Yeah.
And him going, okay, understand. Presumably you're going to pay me off. Yeah, we'll pay you off. See you later. Don't need you anymore. Mm. Fast forward however long it is.
Not that long.
That's David there, please. Yeah. You only said you weren't the right man to take us on and we wanted to buy more players and get like a decent manager. Mm. That's not worked.
Yeah.
So not sure if you've read the papers. Yeah. What are you up to?
Remember when we said that mid-table wasn't for us? It's very much for us.
No, when we said mid-table wasn't for us, we meant in the other way.
Yeah.
Apparently this has come about because of a schism within the Dildo Brothers.
Yes,
I saw that. Apparently David Gold really liked David Moyes and never wanted to get rid of him, but David Sullivan, who apparently has a bit more sway, was keen to sort of get a Pellegrini type in and kick on. So now they've gone back with their dildos between their legs, the strap-ons between their legs.
All right, Jim.
Alright, it's Christmas. And it's Christmas as well.
Happy New Year, Jim. Right, there you go.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a funny one. It's a big of Moyes to go back in a way.
So people, is there any kind of from you guys, is there any kind of feeling, do you agree with some of the stuff that's been said in a similar way to what was said about Nigel Pearson? You know, he's a bit underrated.
Yes.
And he's to be fair to Nigel Pearson, he's doing okay so far, doing better than okay. Is there a bit of an element that David Moyes has been pigeonholed unfairly because of what's happened post Everton, and he's shown himself in the past to be, and it's not that long ago, but he's shown himself in the past to be a guy who can rebuild teams, who can stay at someplace for a long time and do pretty well.
Yeah.
And if you look at how, when Martinez, did Martinez follow Moyes and had a really good season his first season, and it was effectively Moyes' team.
That's right. Defensively, it certainly was,
And then it kind of drifted. But so I wonder whether it's as, despite me playing that really disrespectful sound effect at the start of this, is it actually a bit unfair to pigeonhole David Moyes in this way?
Before we answer that, why is he called the ferryman again?
It's because...
Where did that come from initially?
It was for an observation of mine where he's brought in as a guy who sort of ferries a team away from the land of the dead, relegation,
I see.
Back towards the shores of the Premier League.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, there's no guarantee it will work. Although, you know...
it's got a chance.
It didn't work for Sunderland, did it? But this is the thing. I mean, I think you're right, Luke, because Man United was obviously a huge job. Sunderland are a basket case, really. That was a difficult job for anybody to do.
Yeah.
And Real Sociedad, you know, he's in a foreign country where he's in a league he doesn't know. So
and he had some lovely crisps.
He had some lovely crisps. Yeah. It's not necessarily that much of an indication of his quality, but I think West Ham was a good fit for him when he was there before. And it'd be interesting to see, they've given him an 18-month contract.
Yeah.
But there's a temptation to think this is another sort of parachuting in where it'll be like, I'll get us out of trouble and see you on your way. But I mean, who knows? Maybe it won't be that. Well, he's just the manager now. That seems to be how it's.
I wonder, with regards to what people think of Moyes and why they've brought him back, and we see Pearson coming back as well. I think that there has been, 5 years ago or however long it was, you would get these sort of more what we would call perhaps old school British managers, and it would come in and it would be fairly unglamorous, but they would get the job done. Some of them, not all, but some. Even you talk, Allardyce would be in there, Pardew as well, Hodgson. You could even say, you know, that type of manager. And then there's been a bit more of a wave recently of teams thinking, if we have one of these managers, there's an obvious sort of glass ceiling. There's an obvious ceiling of what they can achieve.
That's the general sort of accepted wisdom.
An Englishman has never won the Premier League. I know it's Scotsmen have Ferguson and Dalglish, but Ferguson's retired. Well, they're both retired, but I mean that seems a while ago.
A long time ago.
There doesn't seem to be. I mean, the other British manager would be Brendan Rodgers, who has come the closest in recent years.
Keggy had a charge
in recent years, but you're absolutely right. But anyway, getting slightly off the point. I think that people then, chairman of clubs think, right, okay, so British managers can only take us so far. Well, we've got a bit of money. We've seen what other clubs can do, you know, with the likes of, I don't know, even Tottenham Hotspur, who, let's face it, wasn't that long ago. There was sort of fairly sort of mid-table-ish, you know, battling away. I know you have to go back a few years. So they see what can be achieved. And I think they think, right, we want to play with style. We want to show, we want to have a bit more of an international audience. We want a bit more glitz and glamour. Right, clearly you go for a foreign manager then. And clubs have done that and it hasn't worked for all. And then they go, ah, who knows the league well? We're talking about with Arteta, I know he's a foreign manager, but this idea of getting players up for it, getting a bit more passion in the side, first to every tackle. Well, whatever you say about British managers, you know, that's your usual, that's your bread and butter.
It's interesting you bring that up.
So Arteta. I wonder if perhaps there's an element of the baby thrown out with the bathwater, the likes of Moyes and Pearson, maybe they're not done in the Premier League, actually.
Well, I just think Moyes is a really interesting example of that sort of thing you're talking about, purely because you mentioned Mikel Arteta there.
Yeah.
Well, I seem to remember Mikel Arteta playing in the midfield for Everton under David Moyes and doing pretty well.
Yeah, so
and all of a sudden Mikel Arteta's this, oh, you know what, he's trained, you know, at the School Guardiola. Of Seven Bells, in this mythical training academy under Pep Guardiola, and now he's the answer to Arsenal's problems, which of course he may well be.
Yeah.
But he played for years under David Moyes and did pretty well. David Moyes has got a history of, I mean, he delivered Everton to a very high finish. Was it fourth at one point?
Yeah.
And when the season they had Neville as captain, Arteta as vice captain, and they had players like Fellaini and Mustafi played there for a bit as well, when he was actually decent, from what I remember.
I don't think he actually played much at Everton, but let's not get into him.
But yeah, fine. All I'm saying is they had some decent players. Leighton Baines was in brilliant league. They had exciting players. And Moyes delivered them like a seventh place position in 2011. Mm. So he is a guy who can operate in the higher part of the Premier League as well. And it's not that long ago.
Yeah. I think what's obvious looking back now, though, I think that might be a little naive, Luke, because if you look back, clearly Arteta was managing the team.
It's possible.
And Moyes has just ridden Phil Neville is
captain. With Fizzer as captain.
Yeah. Well, it's smokescreen, isn't it?
But I think with these British managers, what clubs are thinking now is, oh, well, they'll only get us mid-table at best. Mm. Yeah, they're a safe pair of hands, but we're not going to kick on.
We want to be Leicester.
We want to be Leicester, you know, we even though they have a British manager.
You know what I mean? Though.
Yeah, I do. We want to kick on, all this kind of stuff. But actually, if you're just throwing all this money and you've not really got that much of a plan, actually, to have a safe pair of hands, like Hodgson at Palace will not get relegated when Hodgson's there. There are other examples of this. You know,
is David Moyes going to sign Dennis Dracula-Lercy or not? That's what I want to know.
I do hope.
Is he going to sign Billy Aletinov or not?
Maybe.
They are already being linked with Olivier Giroud.
They've got good players, West Ham.
They do have good players.
But they need a few... it's almost like they need that base of having a season or two in without it being this relegation battle, blah, 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 blah.
Can I just chuck out there as well? Nice of Lucas Fabianski to remind us all that he's back.
Yeah.
With an absolutely astonishing tackle.
Yeah, that didn't help, did it?
Now, that was a real Gazzaniga impression, that. Saved a pen, though, didn't he?
Bit of everything from him there. Yeah, I read an article recently, I forget who it was by, possibly in The Guardian, so apologies to whoever wrote that, but it was about how the idea of the West Ham way might actually be hindering West Ham in terms of their recruitment, because so much of their outlay is on attacking players. We all know this thing about them having something like, what is it, 40 strikers under the Dildo Brothers or something? Something insane.
What
like
is
that.
The West Ham way? No one knows.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's winning the World Cup in 1966.
Yeah, my good friend is a big West Ham fan. So we haven't played the West Ham way since I've been watching them. Yeah. He's my age. Well, so I don't know what it is.
Broadly speaking, they want entertaining attacking football, which is
fair
enough.
Does everyone know?
Yeah, they do, indeed. And this is the point.
But the point is that it seems like the club are sort of beholden to that myth. So they don't really look at they don't make defensive recruitment in the same way that they do attacking recruitment, and it means they're a little bit imbalanced and they keep ending up in this situation.
Yeah, I think the lack of joined up thinking and the lack of, because they had a sporting director under Pellegrini who was Pellegrini's man, and some of the decisions that were made there have not been good. It's too much. There's a lot of money being thrown around that club. Big signings coming in. It's all over the place. And yes, they've got a bit of quality in there, which has just about kept them up sometimes. But they need, it's the consistency and the calm. And Moyes, they believe, will bring that. And out of all the realistic candidates, I'd say he's probably one of the best ones, if that is indeed what they want, which I suggest they do, hence getting him.
On the other hand, though, it's funny, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we love a bit of that. Yeah. Love a bit of that. All right, let's finish this part with Manchester City beating Sheffield United 2-0. Finally, Sheffield United have been beaten away from home. They had chances to win it. Moussa missed a few. He had the ball in the back of the net, but of course, goal was disallowed. Man City back on the horse, though.
Yeah,
having been beaten by Wolves on Friday evening.
What a game that was!
It was a great game.
It's an absolutely brilliant game. One of the best games of the season.
Mm. Oh, Mendy's mistake! Come on, Shame for Man City.
Yeah.
Pep got his 100th win as a Premier League manager, beating Sheffield United, achieving that quicker than any other manager has done. You have to. One can quickly dismissed Man City and go, oh, well, Liverpool, the best team ever. Pep Guardiola has achieved rather a lot since he's been here.
Well, they've also, because Man City have developed a kind of situation where, I mean, as the documentary series suggests, it's like all or nothing for them, isn't it? It's like they're either brilliant or they've lost it.
Yeah. And I don't know what they meant with the title, though.
No, it's what I'm interpreting it as.
Well, he was moaning about the fixture congestion. Which autocorrect has put fixture conversion, quite fittingly. But yeah, fixture congestion. They play on the Friday, and then they're playing on the Sunday, and then they're obviously playing in a few days' time. And I know it's always packed around this time, but especially if you're from another country, another footballing culture, it must be quite maddening.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not going your way. And the team who did have a bit of fixture congestion when they were away to Qatar and so on and are running away with it.
Shout out for a game kicking off at 6 o'clock on a Sunday and not being on TV.
Yeah.
My brain didn't know how to process that.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I was well confused by that. I was waiting for it to come on, then I saw it was at half time. I was like, what?
It's obviously because they wanted a bit of extra time to recover after the games they've played.
I mean, technically, it's less than 2 days, less than 48 hours. After they played away at Wolves, which, I mean, that is quite packed.
Yeah. Also, as well, it being the same for everyone doesn't make you any less knackered, does it?
It doesn't.
But the thing is, it's not even the same for everyone, is it? Because there's still a big discrepancy in it. I mean, Gary Lewin made a good point on Ramble Meets where he said that back in the day, when you used to play two or three games across Christmas week, everyone would play at the same time. So the playing field would be level, so you wouldn't be going up against a guy perhaps in a one-on-one battle who'd had three more days rest than you or whatever. Yeah. It would all be the same. So that what would happen is the quality of the football would go down and the pace and the tempo would really dramatically slow, but it was all in the same even thing, which and it's not now, which makes it more difficult.
Well, it didn't seem to affect Wolves that much, though, who were unlucky at Anfield. Not
Wolves are absolute Hollywood, aren't they? They just love playing in big games, particularly if they're on TV. You know? Like, I know I keep saying it and people are bored of hearing me say it, but they lost twice to Huddersfield last season, Wolves.
I know.
And it's like, I mean, Huddersfield were shit.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Well,
and you can say, oh, well, you know, sometimes teams get together and they put a good performance in. I'm sure Huddersfield play well, I can't really remember, but there's no way Wolves shouldn't be winning those
games. One thing Wolves need to work on, they need to keep their hands on side. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, or their fingernails.
Or their fingernails.
Every atom on side.
Indeed,
I'm getting the right arsehole with this.
Oh, this weekend in particular has
the Pookie
been
one
so,
did me in.
So bad.
The Pookie one was the first one that put me in a kind of existential crisis about whether I even like the sport anymore.
Yeah.
Because by no measure is... I mean, the point. Here's the point, right?
Here we go.
On the Pookie ones, very quickly, I know you guys don't want to fucking talk about it, but tough, right? When people say, oh, you know, but it's either offside or it's not, and that's fine. If that was last season, that's a goal given, right?
Yep, yep.
There's not a single human being on the planet who's going to complain about that.
Same with the Wolves.
Because no one can see it. Yeah. So no one's going to care. Mm. You know? Yeah. So it's so frustrating to me.
Well, for me, like I'm as someone who's in favour of VAR, this isn't what I or presumably anybody wanted from it. It's basically what this is a handicap. It's a sort of offside booby trap, which is so annoying, just so irritating, because this is just, it's, what's the point of this? This is, you know, none of us are enjoying this.
Jim, VAR means VAR.
Yeah.
All right.
I also have noticed now that fans are celebrating when the kickoff is taken, because they know the goal's not going to be rescinded. Yeah. I mean, what world are we living in here?
I don't
know. I mean, Graham,
2020 is going to be shit.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely shit.
Maybe we'll have a chance in the Brighton game, Jim, to talk more about this, because you seem to do so. So let's have a quick break and we'll be back to talk about more football in a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. It's now time for emails with Jimmy C.
Hello, everyone.
Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now
Jim
is reading it out. Well done.
Hello, everyone. It's Ramble email this week. We got one. Oh, okay. We got one, but it's a doozy.
People are busy at Christmas.
They are busy
Jim,
at Christmas.
You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have had loads, but this one stood out much more than the others, so I'm only doing this one.
It's again doozy.
We've had loads, but this one stood out so much that all the other ones can go away.
Yeah.
Right. Hello, Ramble. I've appreciated the recent spate of football or food puns, but every time I hear them, I know I can offer the next level of football food puns. My flatmate and I hosted parties for the Champions League and World Cup final 2 years in a row where all food served was a food player pun. Not only did we make a stellar list of player puns, we physically made the dish for the lucky attendees, and in some cases made a visual artwork of said pun as a label, e.g. James Rodriguez with a roasted ham for a face accompanying an actual ham, or Moussa Dembele as half man, half moussaka, accompanying the delightful Greek dish.
This man sounds like a pervert.
Indeed. Probably the worst was the horrifying laughing Falcao dip and crunch, as in Falcao, laughing cow. I can only assume that is truly awful, isn't it? I'll let you find the words to describe this. We've just done that, I think. In any case, this made for a bizarre but delicious banquet. Please see attached emails with images and full list of player names below. And he has attached these. This is all completely true. So
we share them on social media. Is there photos?
There are photos.
We'll share them on social
media.
Share
them. So we've got Maradona kebabs, nice and simple. Chicken tiki taka Mo Salah. Moussaka Dembele.
You're having that.
Yeah.
No, because you should be having that. Yeah. Do that one again with Mo Salah.
Chicken tiki taka Mo Salah.
Thank you.
See? Yeah, Moussaka Dembele. Pulled pork bar.
There you go.
That's good.
Back
pulled
in.
Pork was good.
Ronaldo nuts.
Yeah, okay.
James Rodriguez, the aforementioned. Yeah. Bacon Mbappes, like that.
Yeah.
Eaton Messi. Vladimir Putin, which presumably that
great.
Was in the, during the World Cup. Mark Battenberg.
Why is Big Vlad in there?
Because it's World Cup, Russia World Cup.
Oh, okay,
wasn't
sorry.
It? Yeah. Because he played up front for Russia?
Might have done.
Yeah.
Modric Tea Biscuits, The Laughing Falcao, even Racky Tic Tacs, terrible. Gareth South Cake, which I'm well into that.
Can I just say?
Still loads of more of these to go.
Tic Tacs?
Yeah.
It's just Tic Tacs
in the
bowl.
Yeah, it's just Tic Tacs.
I bet someone was volunteering for that one.
Yeah, I bet.
Don't worry, I've got one for you.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Walker's Salt and Vinegar, again easy. John Terry's Chocolate Orange. Cavalapeno Poppers. Stuffed Pepes. Juan Cuadra Doritos, Jesus. Patatas Navas. Macaroni Bonner Cheese. And Ica Casiza Salad. And Zinedine Zidanish Pastries. Wow.
Pastries?
Pastries. Yeah, I've gone mad. Pastries. I think this should draw a line under any future football puns. Thanks for reading and keeping up the great work. Tim Weston. I mean, Tim, that is an incredible effort.
Mm. Never email again, Tim.
There will be more puns, but still.
Well, never email again, one, because you're never going to beat that.
No.
And two, because you sound like someone who belongs on the fringes of our society.
Yeah.
So we're a bit scared. Do we normally do a jingle at the end of the emails?
We do.
I'll do another one now. Just do a quick Betway 4 to score update as well.
Very keen this week, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I am. Jim, you went for Pulisic in the Arsenal-Chelsea game.
He did not play.
Pete got Matt Phillips. They got beaten at home by Middlesbrough. So that didn't happen. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Marcus, you had Raheem Sterling in the Man City game. That didn't come in either. But there's a reason there's 18 sunglasses emojis on their Sadio Mane, Liverpool v Wolves.
Yeah.
Because the big man brought it home. So now I think it's only Pete who hasn't got one right.
Is that right? Yeah.
And I don't think he should be allowed back on the show,
no.
To be honest. So, Betway 4 to score is a chance for you to win a lot of money I think it's £125,000 at the moment. Mm-hmm. Go to betway.com/4 to score to play. It's free to play. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected games, and we'll be doing 4 more of those at the end of the week in the preview show.
Nice one. Nice ones all round. Now then, Brighton beat Bournemouth 2-0 in a South Coast derby.
Correct.
Graham Potts is doing...
Graham Potts?
El Potsy is having a good season in the Premier League. His first season, of course, in the Prem, El Potter. And it's going well. Brighton are having a nice time. But it was a good win, though. I think they hadn't won in 8.
I mean, they're winning games, Marcus, but do you know for a fact they're having a nice time?
Yes, I think they are.
But are they definitely enjoying it?
They enjoyed that game.
Yeah, probably did.
They would have enjoyed it more, though, had Big Dan Burns' goal not been disallowed by VAR for marginal offside. Right, go on.
Yeah.
Wankers. What are you going to say?
Wankers.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've sort of touched on it already, haven't we? But this is, it is a really, really frustrating thing to be watching, as I say, as somebody who wanted to see VAR introduced. Because if you take this offside thing out of it, it would be very, very different. And we've got a situation now where fans are chanting, it's not football anymore, when anything happens. When sometimes, actually, it's the right call. Like the Mané's goal. Mm-hmm. There was a suspicion of handball. It might not have been given had VAR checked it and gone, no, actually, it was fine. So sometimes it does work. But this is, I hope we're going to look back on this in the way that we look back on the Champions League's second group stage. Go, that was weird, wasn't it? Do you remember when offsides were about individual hairs, stuff like that? Because it's stupid, isn't it? And Graham Souness had a potential solution at the weekend, was that if any part of the body is onside,
you
it
chop
should
it off.
Count. Yeah,
chop
and I don't
off.
Know whether that chop it off and then just punch it till it's mush.
What about this then? Here's one for you. In hockey, in NHL, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I hope not. Mm-hmm. It's done on the feet. So if it's just the feet.
Well, yeah.
But now, of course, in hockey, the feet don't come off the ice.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I always think, in my sort of mind's eye, I always would think, look where the feet are.
Yeah.
But of course, that would be quite hard to distinguish with the cameras and.
Well, they're going too detailed because if you.
When the ball is played, that frames and all
but
that.
But you never know when the ball's played.
Yeah.
Because the foot's going to be in contact with the ball when the ball is played for several frames.
Yeah.
24 frames per second in that? And the Pookie one, they didn't even show the guy making the pass in the shot.
Well, the thing is that you either, if you're going to go forensic with it, then you have to come up with some sort of thing, which they have done, to be fair to them. We're not enjoying it, but they have done. If any part of your body is offside, and as you see with their kind of workings out, you can say, oh, his hand is offside or his eyelash.
But isn't
offside.
It with the part of the body you can score?
No, because the Wolves player, his hand was offside.
I'm pretty sure it's with the part of the body you can score.
That's what it was with Wolves. You look back at Wolves, it was the hand that was offside. It was a part of his body. So I'm not sure. Well, here we are. We're not sure, are we?
There were so many this weekend as well. Like Wilfred Zaha was called offside.
But that's what they've done. They're saying that, you know, that is offside. So, you know, if you're following the law that we seem to have now, then as annoying as it is, you can see how they've come to that conclusion. Everybody is unhappy with that. Mm. So then what do you do? Well, if any part of his body's onside when the ball's kicked, blah, blah, blah. But then if you go, no, you should just be able to look at it and tell. Well, immediately then you're taking away the black and white nature of what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if you can't achieve some sort of black and white approach to this, then you have to get rid of VAR with regards to offside. Because that would be more annoying if you have VAR. It's a bit like, is it a penalty or is it not? With offside, if you're trying to do it forensically and trying to do it clinically, then you have to come up with something, which they have. If not...
On the Wolves one, by the way, I'll just look at it. Is it the Neto one you're talking about?
Yeah, well, the goal that Wolves scored.
Apparently it's his foot that's offside.
Oh, was it his foot?
Yeah, right. It says here, it's just his foot is slightly offside. But you wouldn't be able to notice it really by the naked eye. I'm 99% sure it's part of the body that you can score with. That's what they take from the armpit, not the arm.
Mm, okay.
But regardless of that, and a lot of the pushback for people like us complaining about it has been, okay, well, people are talking about what's bad about it and what's the solution? Well, my solution is don't fucking have it.
Mm.
My solution is... It was fine before. Yes, we moan about refereeing decisions that are wrong occasionally because that's part of the sort of, you know, the commentary around the game. The solution to it is better referees and perhaps maybe ideally you want to experiment with something like a referee in each half or something like that just to make it easy for them to keep up with the play. But ultimately, the statistics speak for themselves. I haven't got it in front of me, but look up the amount of decisions that were correct when it was just referees. It's in the 90%. Mm. For offsides, it's like it was like 97%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think what it comes down to is, I know Jim's not in agreement with me on this, which is, of course, absolutely fine, but what it comes down to is what your priorities are. Do you want it like this? Well, obviously, no one wants it like this.
Mm.
So do we accept that nothing's ever perfect and go back to what it was like before? Because, fine, you might get the odd bad decision. I mean, you could argue that, you know, the World Cup final in 2010... Nigel de Jong should have been sent off when he wasn't, okay? Is VAR going to change that? Yes, it is. Is it going to make it for a better spectacle? I don't know.
I strongly feel that if someone, you know, gets away with something where they should have been sent off, then if there's a way that like that can be amended, then that's a good thing.
But if you can't have that without having the offsides as well, do you still want it?
Well, I don't think... I don't think that's an argument that's actually being had, is it? I think what needs to happen is that the offside rule needs to be tweaked. Something needs to be changed to reflect this, because this is, it's making the game worse. The interpretation of it is like a robot has applied the rule to the game. You know, it's ridiculous, because goals are the best bit, right? We all broadly agree that goals are the best bit, and that's the thing that's suffering. And there are goals that are just, you know, in my view, are just completely legitimate.
So on this case, then, I think it's fair to bring up, and I agree with you, that the offside rule needs to change to accommodate VAR. But then we talked about this before. We said, Marcus and I, I'm fairly sure, Jim, I know you've been of a slightly different opinion throughout, but I think Marcus and I at the time said, everyone needs to understand the laws of the game have not been drawn up with VAR in mind.
Yeah.
No. So there's not going to be a part, there's going to be several parts of the game where the laws of the game are not conducive to video assistant refereeing, and it needs to be changed to accommodate it. Otherwise, you get this mishmash of nothing where they're going to have to change it in some way. But the problem you get is, of course, VAR is the decision of the local football association or the Premier League or whatever, but the laws are done by IFAB, and that affects everyone all over the world.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, by the way, we'd quite like to use VAR, so can you change how the offside law works around the world to help us.
Mm.
So there's a real impasse there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with offsides, it should maybe be done away with, but there we are.
Good result for Brighton anyway.
Good win for Brighton.
They didn't let it affect them.
What do you think of Graham Potter's reign at Brighton at the moment? I mean, they seem to be good. It seems to be doing all right, don't they? There's not too much talk of relegation. Obviously, they're not that far away from the relegation zone.
It's hugely impressive, really, because, you know, he's still very new in the job there, obviously. Mm. And I think it's a case of that we don't really know what their ceiling is yet. You know, they look like they could be on course to finish in mid-table. They look very comfortable. They don't look like, as you say, they're not really looking over their shoulders yet, but there's a long way to go.
Mm.
You know, a few bad results in a row can obviously affect you, but it's hugely, hugely positive. Well, I mean, they would probably be...
One of the big positives from that game is Aaron Moy with his first goal for the club and playing well.
Beauty as well.
And you know what, he's got a bit of quality there. And they've got some of these players. They don't have too many... There's not that many goals in that team.
No.
And they don't have a real sort of out-and-out goal scorer, so it's important for everybody to kind of chip in where they can. And Moy getting off the mark as well. And also the Iranian guy, Yahan Bash, who bashed one in.
He did.
It was an absolute beauty.
What a wonderful celebration.
Yeah, his first goal as well.
Yeah, what wonderful celebration as well.
He got very emotional, like, didn't he?
He did, yeah, because I think he's been waiting for a chance, hasn't he? And it's not quite worked out for him
last season.
Since he moved to Brighton. But,
Potter's improved him offensively. They're scoring more goals than they were, like, based on last season, and they're going to end up almost certainly conceding a lot fewer than they conceded. I think they conceded 60 goals in the Premier League last season, so they're going to concede fewer. So on that basis, from what I've seen, like, with the naked eye, I don't watch them as close as some people. They look like they're playing better football as well.
Yeah.
So you can't really complain.
Are you worried about Bournemouth though?
I'm not really worried about them. No, it's not something like that. I think
if you're a Bournemouth fan, would you be worried?
I mean,
they've lost 7 of the last 9. They're just 2 points above Villa, who are obviously 18th in the relegation zone.
Yeah, I would be concerned, absolutely. Yeah, because, I mean, those injuries are a huge thing, and Eddie Howe's always talking about, you know, trying not to use that as an excuse, but they are, you know, they're pretty bare, aren't they, at the moment, which really throws your plan for the season out, and your plan for how you're going to play out, and they're struggling to adjust to what they need to do in place of whatever they planned on doing.
Well, I think two things you've got to take into account in that run. Is obviously on the surface level that looks bad, but they've had a lot of injuries, which can happen.
Yeah,
and you're not going to get spared relegation because of that. But that's a factor. And secondly, in that run, they've played a lot of difficult teams. They played Spurs, they've played Liverpool, they played Chelsea, they played Arsenal. The next run of games they've got in the league: West Ham, Watford, Norwich, Brighton, Aston Villa, Sheffield United, and Burnley.
Mm.
So if you're still in the same state after that lot, then you start to worry about them. If of course you are the type of person who gets worried about Morbus, but I'm not, yeah. So I should be okay.
Well, I just wonder though, with you know, Hal's been in charge for a little while down there, and we know that looking around professional football, it's a very, very rare thing for a manager to stay even a few seasons or more at clubs. Mm. And players seem to, whether they get a bit bored or jaded with managers' approaches, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if there's any kind of effect at Bournemouth. I mean, years ago, a manager would be the manager for a lot longer, and the players, they would sort of have peaks and troughs, but there wasn't this kind of... I don't know, but players didn't seem to be, as I say, sort of get jaded or a bit bored, or they wouldn't rub them up the wrong way. Whereas nowadays, that seems to be the case. Howe's been there for a while. He seems likeable. There doesn't seem to be any problem in the dressing room or anything like that. I just wonder, for a small club like them to stay in the Premier League and to perform consistently, is a little bit of a tiredness or, well, over-familiarity creeping in.
That's the thing, isn't it? They've got to, he's almost got to reinvent them and keep players interested and,
yes,
and always try and improve on his ideas. If you look at the top three longest-serving managers in England, Gareth Ainsworth, Eddie Howe and Sean Dyche. Gareth Ainsworth, of course, at Wycombe Wanderers. They've all were appointed within about 36 days of each other.
Yeah.
And they're all still there, seven and a bit years. But two of those, of course, are Howe and Dyche, who are now in the Premier League, and they've delivered their teams Premier League football. And what they've both been really good at is reinventing, re-adding, keeping things interesting and maintaining this Premier League status. Is that going to last forever? Mm. That's the question, isn't it? You don't know. Eddie Howe, I read an article about Eddie Howe years ago. I mean, do you know what, actually? It might be a chapter in one of Michael Calvin's books. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Living on the Volcano, where he goes and spends some time with Eddie Howe, and he turns up at the offices where Bournemouth, I presume it's at where Bournemouth play. I don't think it was at the training ground, might have been. And he gets there at like 5:30, and Eddie Howe's already there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's basically got the run of the place. It's completely made in his own image. Mm. So would he get that somewhere else? Would he make a decision to jump ship and go somewhere else and go, do you know what, the Arsenal job's coming along? But that's a completely different job. Yeah, like a totally different job you'd think of it within the same sport. So yeah, it's interesting. I think they've got a better run coming up. I presume they're going to get players back fit. If they can start picking up some points, you'd think they'd probably be okay, chiefly because Norwich are miles worse than them. Aston Villa look in a shit state, and the jury's still out about Watford. Although they've been improved, they've still got a bit of a way to go. So yeah, who knows?
Well, of course, if they do get relegated, they'll go down to the Championship.
Oh, what a nice link.
And that's where we go now. A little bit of jiggery pokery at the top of the Championship. Leeds had an amazing win.
Again,
away to Birmingham, 5-4. A very late winner. It was about 95th minute or something like that.
Own goal, by the way.
Oh, my God. What a game. I mean, 9 goals. You're always going to be happy.
Own goal,
neutral.
Marcus, as a winner in the 95th minute. And he absolutely rifled it in as well. He didn't know what to do with himself afterwards.
It was a beauty.
Yeah.
Absolute beauty. But, of course, elsewhere, West Brom suffered a very rare defeat, and it was a home defeat at that, against Middlesbrough. Bilic's boys, very strange result there. Borough in 16th, they're 9 points above relegation and 9 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, the second goal.
Ashley Fletcher's
from a long, long way out, lobbed over the goalkeeper, who's way off his line.
It was one of those ones where, because it was in about the 93rd minute, and West Brom were pushing.
Mm.
And Fletcher just rasps one in the top corner from miles away.
It
makes it look a comprehensive win, but I don't know if it was.
I know what you mean, but these results can happen in the Championship. And so West Brom, it is a strange result, but that's only their second defeat of the whole season. Yeah. And we're, you know, the turn of the year. So they've had a flipping good time so far under Bilic, you would say.
A shout out to Jonathan Woodgate, by the way. He's putting a bit of a run together. They were in big trouble, weren't they?
Well, yeah, they were. And I would imagine there's a lot of goodwill towards Woodgate among a lot of the supporters at Middlesbrough. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm suggesting, if I've got that wrong, forgive me, but I would imagine there would be. And as a neutral, I think you want to see Woodgate sort of do quite well. So, you wouldn't want Middlesbrough to tank and for him to struggle. The Fulham beat Stoke City 1-0. The Mighty Whites up to third. You were there, Luke.
I was. They were quite poor, Fulham, actually. First half, they were decent.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to, once they scored the goal, I thought they were going to settle down and really go to town and give me a Christmas treat to remember. But it never kind of manifested itself.
But despite that, you know, the front line they've got and some of the players Fulham have, which is, like, especially that front line they've got, is very impressive. I personally, having watched them quite a bit this season, I can't see them catching Leeds and West Brom in the automatic.
Well, not based on that performance. Yeah. I mean, Stoke have got a lot of good players. I was chatting to a Stoke fan friend of mine at the game as well, and he was telling me, yeah, we've got a lot of good players, but the club's in a right state at the moment.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
And we don't know why. But what happened with Fulham is that they scored after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and I really thought that would settle them down. But they pushed and pushed, and Jack Butler made a couple of good saves. But in the second half, it became such a stop-start game. Players picking up injuries, perhaps because of the busier schedule, going off, substitutions, and they never really got going. And what actually happened was, you could almost see Fulham physically start to get nervous in the last 10 minutes. And they just invited Stoke onto them. And Stoke ended up having more shots than Fulham in the game at Craven Cottage. And I would say the lion's share of those shots came in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And luckily Fulham were able to close it out. But it was much more nervous than it needed to be. And if that's anything to go by, they need to start working on closing teams out, because they also weren't playing the kind of football they started to be known for as well.
Well, I personally can't see Fulham finishing in the top two. And usually there's a team who puts a bit of a run together around sort of February, March time, or maybe slightly earlier. So we've yet to see them. So I don't know. Leeds, I think, are going up.
There
just
we go.
Just to put the jitters up the Leeds fan. there we are. Yeah. All right, let's go north of the border. We've had a couple of derbies of late. We won't talk about the Edinburgh one, but we'll talk about the Glasgow one. Rangers beat Celtic 2-1. A big win for the Jers. Stephen Gerrard was rather jubilant after the final.
He loved it, didn't he?
Oh my goodness. Right down the camera for one of them.
It's the first time Rangers have won at Celtic for a number of years, though, isn't it?
It is. I think 2010 was the last time they won at Celtic Park.
And the context of it, as you say, is absolutely massive as well, to keep them in touching distance for a title bid. Can we go straight to Morelos?
He played his part.
I love it. I mean, Morelos, we know what a silly sausage he is. He usually gets sent off because he's, I don't know, elbowed someone or gone in two-footed or something like that. How he found a way to get sent off in this game.
Incredible. On a yellow, dive in the penalty area in the last minute. Lovely stuff.
I thought the yellow might have been a touch harsh. He's always going to give Scott Brown a little bit.
I've only saw it once.
Yeah.
The referee was right there.
Yeah. He was. I think that if that was anyone else other than Morelos, I don't think it would have been a yellow card.
He's desperate to score against Celtic, isn't he?
Too desperate.
Very much so. But even before that, you could see his shooting was really wild.
Yeah.
And he looks a different player, really.
He does. Well, against them, he does, because he is a good player. But unfortunately, if you want to, I mean, Morelos was touting himself for a move down south or somewhere elsewhere. You're going to have to put up with at least 3 red cards a season with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolute madness.
And also, he's not got the mentality to handle the big games. Yeah. And why would the big club sign him?
Well, he gets sent off in the small games as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I mean, in terms of he doesn't score in the big, relatively speaking.
Well, he scored a few like in Europa League and stuff. But I know what you mean. But other than that, it was a great win for Rangers. And I mentioned when they lost the League Cup final a few weeks ago, 1-0, I was surprised at how good Rangers were, actually, and they should have won that game. And I can't believe they didn't. And I said,
accept it and move on.
I wonder if this is the tide is changing slightly. And this game, Rangers were the better side going away to Celtic. The way they imposed themselves in the game, Gerrard is obviously...
That's probably why he was so excited. I mean, he's obviously excited because they won the game. It's an Old Firm game, of course, but I think he probably feels that, like, finally, to use that phrase again, we've broken that glass ceiling for the first time in a long time. Yes. And that will mean a lot to the players.
It does, yeah. And to see his methods and to see what he's trying to get over to those players and say, don't be intimidated, don't act like you're second best, all that kind of stuff. To see that play out on the pitch in the hardest place to go in Scottish football, and for them to get that win is incredible.
Can you remind me how many games Hearts have won in the league this season?
Mm-hmm.
You heard me.
You need a reminder?
Yeah.
Not enough.
No. I think we can all agree on that.
Got a good point against the Dandy Dons, though.
Well, people who listen to this show and don't really know an awful lot about Scottish football will probably be confused as to why Hearts literally never get mentioned anymore. And for those who want to know why, it's because they're currently at rock bottom of 12 teams in the Scottish Premiership. They're almost certainly going to be relegated. And out of 21 games...
almost certainly going to be relegated?
Yeah.
All right.
Out of 21 games this season, they've won 2.
Yeah. It's better than 1, I suppose, but... I think Hearts need to get a winning mentality. So what they're thinking long term. They think, well, we'll go down, then we can win that league, and that gives Hearts the platform to go on and win the other league, which is, of course, the Scottish Premiership. So it's quite smart thinking, if you think about it. But don't take that away from Stephen Gerrard, though. It's a great win for Rangers. But my point, just to wrap up this the point about Rangers, is...
This now in-depth Scottish section.
Indeed, now they're a couple of points off Celtic. They have a game in hand. We know the Celtic side can see out a championship. My goodness, you know, they're on for 9 in a row. We know that. We know that they can win trophies. They've won, goodness knows how many of them in recent years. And Neil Lennon's won trophies as Celtic manager already this season. It will be interesting now. Can Rangers, under Gerrard, keep going through the grind of having to win every single week. And when I say close out the league, I mean, they're still not first at the time of recording, and we go into a little bit of a break. But for any neutral, it's pleasing that Rangers won, because Celtic, I personally don't want to see a side like, whether it's PSG, Juventus, you know, dominate and so on and so forth.
It's not going to be Juventus this year, are they? Not dominating this year.
Well, certainly not, no. But there we are.
There we go. I wanted to bring, I mean, Jim, you've kindly brought this to the table, and I've actually not heard this, but it's a reporter on Final Score on BBC getting cramp live on TV. Should I just play it?
Yeah, play it.
I'll just play it.
Because it sounds like, before you do that, it sounds like a joke.
Sorry, go on.
Sorry, it sounds like a joke at first, doesn't it?
Yeah, but
I haven't heard it. I'm going to play it now. Sorry. Yeah.
Go on, have a little spin.
Down to 10 men, and they are knocking the ball around nonchalantly.
I've got cramp, Jason. It's 2 games in 3 days. Oh, in my hamstring. Oh, it's painful. They're so comfortable, more comfortable than me at the moment. Huge win for Watford, this. 5 minutes of added time remaining. It's not just footballers who have it tough at Christmas.
Oh. Well. Oh. I've seen and heard many things.
Brilliant, yeah, man.
Bless him.
That's so funny, isn't
it? Great. By the way, big Jason on the BBC, looking like Pep Guardiola these days.
Yeah,
it's too. He studied that, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's very much the role that way.
Yeah. I mean, like if you know, 5-6 years ago, you see a guy walking down the street in London wearing a roll neck, you think, all right, fair enough. Now people are doing it just because Guardiola does it. Yeah. I don't like it as much.
Maybe it's a Dapper Laughs hangover.
Yeah, possibly. God, you don't see him mentioned very much anymore.
And rightly so. Did you all see that Francis Benali has been given an MBE?
He has.
And again, rightly so. I mean, I don't know how aware of this people are, but Francis Benali has been doing these insane, like Iron Man style challenges where he ran to every Premier League ground, and I think he did it again, but with the Championship grounds as well. And he has raised, on his own, £1 million for Cancer Research UK.
He's been phenomenal.
Absolutely incredible. He's 50 years old, has put so much in, and he's been rewarded with an MBE, and I just think he deserves a mention.
Damn right he does, Jim. No, it's good to see. Because some in the New Year's Honours list, you think, how have they got an... Oh, I forgot about them. And then you see that, oh, that's a... well done.
Yeah.
Well bloody done.
For the right reasons.
Yeah.
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons.
Good on him.
Always for the right reasons, these things, but that one certainly is. And then we'll finish with, what about Forest Green Rovers?
Yeah, they're allowed their wooden stadium, aren't
they? They can have a wooden stadium.
Yeah, they were trying to get permission for it for a while.
It was originally rejected by the council, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think the local fuddies and duddies didn't like the idea of it. But it's gone through. They're going to have an all-wooden stadium.
Yeah.
I might speak
to
the
first vegan club, aren't they? So
I might speak to the guy, Tom Jones, who designed the Spurs one, and ask him how that's possible, because, I mean, just in my layman's eyes, I'm thinking, fire risk.
Yeah, Tom, it's not unusual. to have a fire risk.
That joke was done at the time.
Yeah.
But you are exactly the kind of guy who would do it again, Marcus. Yeah. And I think you've not let us down there.
Happy New Year.
Presumably, they're just going to go to IKEA.
No, I don't think so.
Just get it done from there.
It could be cheaper, but I don't think so.
It could be, yeah. There we are, you see. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the football. There's the music. There it is.
What did I tell you about Donaldson?
Pete's box of booby traps.
Yeah.
The end of the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy back tomorrow. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
So cheers. Cheers. Bye.
Jim Campbell.
Bye.
Thank you, listeners. Happy New Year.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.